day, and welcome to Tall Tales Uncovered. This is Joe Cummings. I am so glad my friends are gathered here and you are listening to this podcast. We have a place over there for your coats, and goodies are there on the middle table. Last time we met, I announced the release of my book published by History Press, Oklahoma Tall Tales Uncovered, and I gave you each a copy. I am thrilled that all have really enjoyed reading it. I have really enjoyed all my book signings and meeting everyone. The book has been really well received. It is available at your local bookstores and on Amazon. I have reordered books 4 times just to keep up with requests, for which I am thankful. Emma, you mentioned last time that you never heard about women pioneers. Well, today, I have a tall tale for you. Lydia Marklin Pace was a pioneer of her own making. Please share this podcast to help keep history alive. For the great land run of the Cherokee Outlet on September 16, 1893, 100,000 people registered for the 6.5 million acres up for grabs. There were 37,160-acre homesteads for either a free farm or a town lot. The area was gripped by a depression with interest rates as high as 60%. An 1880 amendment to the Homestead Act clarified that single and married women, 21 or older, could claim public land. At the starting line, up to 20% were women, according to historian Debbie McCulk. A New York Times article, September 7, 1893, reported that more women would participate in the Cherokee Strip run than any other. Out of the dust and dirt somewhere between Enid and Perry, arose the fabled town of Bathsheba. 33 women abjured the masculine sex completely. One unfortunate rooster even met his demise when wandering into the den of no males allowed. However, Bathsheba vanished, never to be found. What did exist was a single woman who, amid personal tragedy, conquered the run, staked a claim, and shaped the foundation of Enid. Lydia Phillips was born on January 24, 1872, Thomas Lowry and Mary Angeline Roach Phillips in Orange County, Indiana, where she had a normal childhood for the time. She had 10 brothers and sisters. One sister was adopted. She married Frank Marklin on April 10, 1892. They lived on a farm in southern Indiana near Orleans. On her 21st birthday, she suffered a miscarriage. While grieving her child, Frank became ill with typhoid fever, dying on February 8, 1893. The ground was frozen hard, so he was not buried until a few months later on their first wedding anniversary, April 10, 1893. Now mourning for both her child and husband. Let that sink in a minute. She'd just gotten married, hadn't been a year, lost her child, lost her husband. What would you do? Well, Lydia sold the farm and charted a new direction. Amazingly, and it is amazing, she traveled 800 miles alone to Oklahoma Territory, arriving on August 14, 1893, according to a letter she sent to her sister. In her diary, she wrote, "I have arrived safely in the territory. The temperature is very hot. Some sell water for an entire dollar per jar. Many prefer to indulge in saloons. I bought a strong, well-mannered mare when I departed the train. She is an ugly thing, but she is fast and strong. I will need her strength when we plow. There is much promise here. I plan to find a fine plot to settle in September." What's that, Ken? What about Richard Messel? Well, yeah, he did seize an opportunity. He brought with him a knockdown wooden building along with bottling machinery instead of fast horse for the land run. While others raced, he built the first manufacturing plant in Enid, named the Enid Bottling Works. The race was on Saturday. He was in operation on Tuesday. He bottled his water from Government Springs here in Enid. He sold 200 cases by nightfall on Tuesday, which was 4,800 bottles of water. He charged a nickel a bottle. That sure explains why Lydia was shocked by people charging a dollar per bottle of water. Of course, Richard and Lydia would meet each other later. Lydia's brother John and brother-in-law W.W. Day, who was married to Lydia's sister, eldest sister, Melissa Ann, were with her at the start of the Cherokee Strip land run on September 16, 1893. Lydia recalled riding her ugly, strong horse at the firing of the starting gun. She staked her claim on the 1/4 of land southeast of the present-day intersection of Willow and Garland. Lydia went into business with her brother-in-law, W.W. Day, who lived in Wichita, but did his business in Enid. She did the private financing of building and selling. In her diary, she wrote, "William, or W.W., has asked me to partner with him to build a brick block. An opera house seems such a silly thing. Alas, many people are open to the novelty of that plan. We are also discussing a grand courthouse to tame the lawlessness." Richard Messel and Lydia must have met regarding the opera house. Richard donated the land and organized a fundraising to build an opera house. The money was raised by subscriptions, lottery, and donations. It was named the Sons of Herman Opera House. It was later called Schuyler Hall, or just the old opera house. The brick building was built around 1899 to welcome theatrical groups, including opera singers. However, Lydia went in another direction. In the fall of 1895, a company known as the Garfield County Investment Company was organized. The members were Ed Hockday, O. Armstrong, H.C. Henry, R. Kennedy, F.H. Intrican, George W. Graham, Charles King, F.W. Uttry, Chrissy and Trees, Cunningham and Cropper, Rogers and Gannon, Thompson and Jackson, C.B. Utzler, J.C. Talmage, W.W. Day, C.E. Elliott, and one woman, Lydia Markland. Richard Messel was also involved. They would build a courthouse and rent it to the county for $1,600 a year. After 4 years, it would be county property without any more cost. It opened on April 1st, 1896, in a brick two-story building constructed for less than $5,000. In 1898, she built the Markland Day Building. Her name was on the top of her building on the east side of the square in Enid, which housed the Mybergen and Gottschalk store. According to the Enid Wave Democrat paper of April 1, 1897, it also housed a J.P. Jack office for loans on farm property, mortgages, city property, and chattels. It also read that Lydia was contemplating the erection of a brick block. In her diary, she wrote, "I plan to meet with the France family to fund a fine hotel. It will not be as grand as a scale as a French lick in Indiana, but it will serve us well." She invested in a fine hotel at the present day Enid Axe on the downtown square. The finest picnic grounds were the famous Divers Grove north of Enid. It was one of the very best in the entire territory. There were plenty of hammocks to swing in, stretched between the trees, which were many large and close together. There would be plenty of sweetmeats, fried chicken, and pickles to eat. Lydia would go with a party of friends consisting of H.H. Champlin, W.B. Johnson, Helen McClellan, Clara Glenn, Fanny Lee, John McAtee, W.T. Dugan, Alice Goff, among many others. Lydia was also active in the Ladies' Aid Society of the Presbyterian Church with members Ms. Dams, Kenny, Hodgson, France, Champion, McClellan, Hubble, to name a few. An elegant reception would include pineapple ice of fine quality and three kinds of cakes among lively chatting. On May 4, 1899, Lydia sold her land claim of 159 acres and 36 hundredths of an acre for $1,000. She wrote in her diary, "I miss my family dearly. The nights are lonely and the men here are brash, unruly, and restless. I hope Melissa will join me soon. Meanwhile, Richard Messel organized the first Garfield County Fair Association, of which he was president. He operated a wheat farm, was treasurer of the school board, and was a member of the city council for years. He was elected to the 6th Legislative Assembly and was a member of the staff of Governor Cassius Barnes. Richard died at his home at age 54, which seems like a life cut short. His energy, hard work, and vision helped shape Enid into a regional trade center. Lydia returned to Indiana. We're getting off the train in French Lick, Indiana. She ran to John Pace in the French Lick Hotel. He was finishing up law school. They married a year later at the home of J.B. Strong in Bloomington, Indiana, August 14, 1901, which was her anniversary of first arriving in Oklahoma Territory. They settled in Muskogee, Oklahoma because of the federal courthouse there and John's interest in Indian law. They would have two daughters, Lolita Ellen Pace on November 18, 1903, and Susanna Irene Pace on April 28, 1908. Lydia would return to Enid many, many times. Her brother-in-law, W.W. Day, died in 1912. John and Lydia were pillars of the Muskogee community. The Pace Award was a coveted annual award for exceptional students at the West Junior High School. They would celebrate 54 years of marriage before John's death at 83 on January 29, 1956. Lydia died at 93 on August 15, 1965, with a burial in Woodland Cemetery, Sand Springs, Oklahoma. It has been said that women were the most successful of the early townsite organizers and speculators. Lydia Markland Pace would be the forerunner, even if riding one ugly horse, as Richard Messel won, not with a fast horse, but with a bottle of water. What amazing people our pioneers were. I appreciate you all joining me today. Your coats are over there by the door. Paul, yes, you can buy my just-released book, published by History Press, Oklahoma Tall Tales Uncovered, from your local bookstore or Amazon, or from me. I think you will enjoy it. It has had a good response. Amazon sold out in 24 hours on the day it was released, nationally. It is endorsed by the United States Marshals Museum in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Get your copy today. I appreciate your support. Please share this podcast with your friends to keep history alive. Please rate it on Apple or whatever platform you're using. This is Joe Cummings. Thanks for listening. So glad you're here. See you next time on Tall Tales Uncovered.